senses, the mind and emotions enter into that. These are the three places of rasa. But you know, still, the mind has to accept the sense gratification, to consider it pleasure, or not, to consider it some rasa. So the mind is the central point, and transcendental also is traced basically within the mind once the mind is purified, but it actually has an affinity towards transcendental exchange. Otherwise, it doesn't notice that, and only notices the material. So actually, rasa-vasa is a real thing. So a lot of people say that, oh, Prabhupada is just giving vaidhi, Prabhupada's just, you know, dealing on these lower levels, and someone else is going to give the higher level. I would challenge, what is that higher level? You know, what is it that they're talking about? Because if we're talking reality, you don't have love for Krishna, you're not on those higher platforms. You're not on Raganuga Bhakti if, you know, one is interested in sense gratification. Right? Means someone on the Madhyama platform prefers engaging his conditioned nature in Krishna service than things that are against his Krishna, his conditioned nature in Krishna service. Just like, let's say, he has a very intellectual conditioned nature. He prefers doing intellectual activities for Krishna. He'd prefer that over ones that don't take any, you know, intelligence. And someone who doesn't have intelligence would prefer those being told what to do and just doing it rather than have to work it out himself. You know? Like that. So he prefers that, but it's not that the taste that he gets from that is what he's looking for. He's looking for Krishna's pleasure.
So Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is called, that takes place, not until Bhava.
No, it takes place, Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti can take place from the position of Nishta. But some people, it may not catch, so it'll happen when they come to Bhava. When they come to that bridge between Asakti and Bhava, it'll start at that point. Like that, because we practice Raganuga. That's what is going on in the spiritual world. Some will say, no, Raganuga we use practice in the spiritual world, Ragatmika. That's the general category. Ragatmika means the inspiration is the rag. But if you really technically look at it, who has the rag? Right? Means to say that one considers one an advanced devotee, or to be a leader of devotees, are the two things that will keep you from crossing into prema. This is mentioned in Bhagavata Chandrika. If you harbor these two thoughts, you'll never get to prema. You can stand the level of bhava for hundreds of lifetimes, or maybe even thousands.
The two were again? To think I'm the leader of devotees and?
I'm an advanced devotee, okay. And I am a guru of devotees. Because actually, these two go back to, these are seemingly pious forms, seemingly devotional forms of, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Right. If I'm the controller, then I am advanced. Because that's your identity, I'm the controller. Then as the controller, I enjoy, so therefore I am a guru of Vaishnavas. So actually, they're just Maya's subtle trick beyond the material world, right? The last is, I am God, right? Then if she tricks the yogis and the impersonalists that way, keeps them in the material world. But if you happen to get out of the material world by devotion, this is then another form of the same thing, is that the material world is, I am God, but in the spiritual world, I am God's devotee, right? In other words, it's impersonalism to think I am the devotee. Right? Because the devotee is Mother Jashoda, Radharani, these others. They are the devotees. Everyone else is following them. And technically, Radharani is the one and only devotee, and everyone else is her devotee. Right? But in the past times, then it's broken up so that there's leaders of each of the rasas.
like that, and then subdivisions. But technically, all of the other four rasas are servants of Radharani. And within the Kanjaka rasa, they're all servants of Radharani. So there's actually only one devotee. That's mentioned in Nectar Devotion. Like that. So to think we are the devotee, then is wrong. So if that mentality is there, one will never get past what's called Smaranadasa. It means it's the third stage of Bhava Sadhana. Bhava Bhakti has five levels. So you'll never get past the third with this mentality. That has to be completely given up. So I am the servant of the servants of the devotees. So therefore it is said that verse Trinada Pisuni Chena, that is our Siddha Pranali. Like that. Even if you know who you are, what does it matter? Right? You can tell the 8-year-old boy that 4-year-old girl is his wife. That ceremony you just went to with the dolls, that was your marriage and this is your wife. But does it mean anything? No, it's just some, friend that they can talk together. You can't operate it. He can't operate as a husband, neither can she operate as a wife. Right? When they hit puberty, yes. Then they're husband and wife. Factually. So in the same way as to hear anything about one's position there, in detail, specifically, what does it matter? It will do you no benefit.
But or have an adverse effect.
Yeah, but to know the mentality of one on that platform, of Trinada Pisuni Nichena, and Gopi Bhartu Padakamalai, or Dasa Dasa Anudasa, that is what will get you through. If you have that mentality, then you go through very quickly. You don't have that mentality, you get stuck. So better to develop it now, when we're not advanced. It's much harder to develop when we are actually advanced and people do consider us guru. Then it's harder to understand I'm not guru and I'm not advanced.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So that's why it's given as the third verse. That's the platform nishtha. So the platform nishtha, then one must focus on this very strongly. You should from any time, but that's where you can really practice it. Because that's when then that spontaneous method is. Spontaneous means you like to do it. Right? It's the difference between the two is, why are you doing it? I like to do it. Why do you go to Mangalartik? I like to go to Mangalartik. That's spontaneous devotion service. Why do you go to Mangalartik? Because the Brahma Muhurt is the best time of the day, so therefore you should do, activities that are the most uplifting, so therefore going to Mangalartik, chanting our japa, all that, so that's why I do it. That's Vaidisadhana. I just like going and seeing the deities that early. That's Raghunuga. That's the only difference. But because it's so simple, it doesn't look very great. Right? It sounds, just by that definition, it sounds like, well, that's nothing special. Anybody could do that. But I want to be special because I am an advanced devotee. Right? Therefore, then we have to make Raghunuga sound like something, different. You put some intellectualism on it, but that's impersonalism. Like that. And the desire for the results of that. So there's all kinds of mixing, And then, all kinds of things like this. But this is, so the real thing is that it's just, that's what it is. But how do you get, it's so simple, but it means something when it actually means something to you. Right? When it's not theory, when it's practical, then it means something.
It's sustained.
Yeah, it's sustained. Then you get a taste from that. That Raghunuga is getting a taste from the devotional service. Right? That's what's going on. That's what it is. The whole thing is taste. Krishna Vayu Rasa is of taste. So that's what we're looking for. That taste. That's what it says. It gives that taste when everyone is hankering after. That's in the first verse. So that's what one's looking for. So if there's no taste, we turn to something else. We don't get a taste from being, senior and a leader in Krishna consciousness, and nowadays nobody cares. So then, okay, we step outside and we use our same talents and all that, and the karmis will respect us. Right? You know, any devotee takes his intelligence outside, he's more intelligent than they are. We've seen it. Any devotee steps out into academics, they're the top of the academics. There's no one more better than them. You know, they get devotees who actually have administrative abilities or business abilities, they're millionaires. They're not small-time businessmen. Like that. They're the best. Like that. But in Krishna, same person steps into Krishna consciousness, he's just one of the boys, unless he actually is spiritually advanced. So then if someone's not getting a taste in Krishna consciousness, they turn to these tastes that you get from material, you know, position and, you know, whatever it is, knowledge and wealth and family and, fame and all these different things. So it's, taste must be gotten. So that's why it's very important to know the process and to shoot for getting taste within Krishna consciousness in the association of devotees. Then that's sustainable. Then Krishna consciousness steadily becomes sustainable. Otherwise, the tendency is to break off, and then, you know, because you forget about you forget how bad the material world is, right? Because the nature of the soul is ananda. So as a soul, they'll never remember the bad after time. Give enough time, and the worst situation we'll laugh about. You know? The most embarrassing, the most difficult, one can laugh about. But the happiness, one always remembers. Right? Because the soul is happiness, it's not distress, so it doesn't relate to distress. So the whole thing is that then if one is trying to find in the association of devotees that pleasure in Krishna consciousness by properly following, one will get. Otherwise one will go out having forgotten, okay, you've been a devotee for 20 years, 30 years, you forget how bad Maya is. So then gradually you kind of like slide out. Maya is very clever at that. You know, she covers and then throws. And then after a while you notice that the harassment, materiality, is just so much. Then you think, hey, what's going on? And, you know, Maya tricked me. Then they come back into Krishna consciousness. Like that. Just, so then, so they'll continue. But if you wanted to sustain it, then that humility, lack of pride, all these ethics must be there. Like that. So in standing up and yelling and screaming that devotees aren't ethical and all that, they're breaking one of the main principles of ethics, of humility. Right? In knowledge, Krishna gives 20 points of knowledge in the Gita. I think it's 8:13 or something like that. It's the first one he gives is humility. If that's there, you can gain all the other 19. Right? And to be ethical means you are knowledgeable. Like that means to be cultured means you're knowledgeable. You can't be cultured. It means you say someone's uncultured because they don't know how to behave in society. So they're educated, they have knowledge, and they apply that. You'll say they're educated. They're cultured. So knowledge means culture. Like that, the two go together. It means if you have it and don't do it, it's like if the guy is eating in a really bad way, you know, chewing with his mouth open, making lots of noise, talking with his, you know, food in his mouth, and you say, hey, you shouldn't do that, you know, and you say, I know that, you know, what's the big deal? He won't be considered cultured, though he has the knowledge. So when it's applied, then they're called knowledge. So that's the Vedic standard. This knowledge, until it's applied, it doesn't have any meaning. So until you can apply these higher knowledges in your life today, it doesn't have any meaning. So that's what Prabhupada was very expert at, and Bhaktisiddhanta. They could take the highest principles and connect them to what's going on today without giving you a false sense of position or identity. You know you're a neophyte, but the purpose is full surrender, like the gopis. They're the best example of full surrender. Full surrender of Krishna is the most pleasing. That's what we should do. Therefore, you should surrender and wash your pots and do this and that. So they would bring that down to here. But people would just say, oh, that's Vaidhi. No, that is someone on the topmost platform being able to show you on your platform how to get the same benefits of them, but in your position. That's a master. Like that. Yeah, that's a charity. So that's a special.
Repeat
those
last two sentences, please.
Means, how do you say? A married woman talks to young girls about the mentality in which they should perform their duties. And the and how to properly perform their activities. Because they are married, and they do know what grihastha life is. They know the taste of grihastha life. The girl that's been engaged, or the girl that's just hit puberty, they just talk about, you know, being with boys and this and that and all kinds of things like this and sex and so many things like this. That's what they talk about. And they talk those things to the younger girls and pollute them. Why? Because they don't know what they're talking about. That's what it is. Sitting around smiling at a boy, is that grihastha life? Having sex, that's grihastha life? No, it's part. The big picture is the culture that is happening between husband and wife to forward themselves in Krishna consciousness and go back to God. That's grihastha life. So that the married women talk about. They don't talk about the sex and the sitting around and smiling at each other. That those who think they know, that's what they talk about. That's the point. Make sense?